Well, we serve a good God, isn't that right? Turn to the person next to you and say, I am blessed to be sitting by you. Tell them that. Okay, hold it right there. Hold it. Turn to the other person and say, you're my second choice. Come on, tell them that. Yeah. For sure. Okay, I don't know how this is going to go today. Frankly, I was surprised that Matt said that it went great when he heard it last night, because this topic is not a topic that can be taught. It has to be caught. And I think it's a really complicated topic for me, especially because I grew up in a church where they abused this word. And so, since we're trying to answer questions that maybe you didn't even know you were asking, this is what I'm going to attempt to do as I talk about this word, repent. I grew up in a church that there was really nothing fun about being there. It was a lot of judgmentalism. And raise your hand if you ever met a judgmental Christian, all right? Seems like they're taking over the world. And they think that maybe they're perfect or better than you. And we all have issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. You have issues. And if you think you're perfect, no one likes being around you. They didn't turn to you a while ago when they said, it's good to sit by you. And somebody, compassionate lady. Ma'am, you are not that person. But the point is, I grew up in a church where, if you're a guest, you may not know my story, but I grew up in a church that was very legalistic. A lot of judgmentalism, and it was like a prerequisite to go to that church. You had to hate people, and the meanest person at the church was my Sunday school teacher at 7 years of age and eight, and she, her finger was 30 foot long, and she would point at me and tell me, hell is hot. She talked like an old man. Hell is hot, and you're going to hell. She told me this almost every weekend, and she talked about hell like she was born and raised in hell. And I wanted to ask her if the devil wore Prada, because she knew. But then one time she said, don't you want to go to heaven, young man? And I said, not if you're going to be there. Funny now. You tracking with me? The truth is I never knew that the Lord loved me. You know, it's the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. All right, so what did I do with that? I just kept running. I thought God wanted me out. I never knew he wanted me around him. So if you've ran into some Christians who have been a poor representative of Jesus, please don't let that stain your view of Jesus, because he is amazing at forgiving people. So I want to peg you just for a second, because I'm seeing a trend as I speak at New Life. I speak at New Life Church 60 to 70% of the time on the weekend at one campus or another. And it's probably actually more than that, but here 60 to 70% of the time. And there's another campus that I'm there about that much. But then I get to speak at other churches as I travel around. And let me tell you something I've noticed that happens more and more. And so I am going to speak about the foyer of the church after church. Here's a common thing that people would say, and this is my whole challenge right here. It's not uncommon for people to come up to me and say, man, Rick, that sermon wrecked me. Or that sermon made me cry. Or, now by the way, I'm not speaking about just when I speak. It could be anybody. Even Matt Mosler's sermons move people sometimes. But when it happens, it reminds me of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, in case you're not familiar with that story, the rich young ruler ran up to the Lord with excitement, like he, similar to the way you come to church, like, hey, come to church. But he got into a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord, in a way, preached to him, because he came up to the Lord and he said, Lord, you're amazing. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? And he goes, I just really think you're amazing. And then Jesus said, Well, then you have to keep my commandments. And Jesus didn't name all of the commandments. Interesting enough, he just named like the last six, which are all about relationships. The first four commandments out of the Ten Commandments, the first four are about you and God. It's vertical. It's you and the Lord. Like the first one, have no other gods in front of me. The second one, don't have any idols. And the third one, respect my name. The fourth one, please respect a day off, the Sabbath. You know, get in my presence. But then it switches to honoring mom and dad and things like don't kill people and don't commit adultery and don't covet someone else. And okay, and don't lie, be honest. But everyone has broken those commandments. Everyone in this room. And so had the rich young ruler. So Jesus said, hey, if you want to call me good, then you got to follow these. And this is where he got it wrong the first time. He literally looked at Jesus and said, I've obeyed every one of them my entire life. And Jesus is so good at loving people that he just went through that. And then he said, okay, well then, if you want to settle everything, just go and do this. And he gave him some strong conviction, like, go and do this and let's go. Let's follow me then. But first you got to go home and work on something. Well, the Bible says that he turned around. He was facing the Lord, but now he turned around. The word repent literally means that no matter where you are, because of your sin and your secrets, because of the power of the cross, wave at me if you like the cross. Repent means no matter what you have done, you can turn and walk toward a holy God, even though you are extremely unholy. Okay? But he did the opposite. He's with the Lord and he turned away and walked away. And here's where it's similar to the foyer experience. And he was wrecked. And he was undone. And he was crying. But he didn't change. And somehow through the years, it's happening to me too sometimes. It's like I'm so thankful that I'm convicted that it's like I've accomplished the goal then. And I just want to let you know that when the Lord convicts you, now later on I'm going to describe the difference between condemnation and conviction. But when he convicts you, it's like it can be a really good moment. But it's not just for the conviction. It's for the repentance. In other words, it's for the change. This can happen to you when you're doing devotion. You can read a scripture and you're wrecked. My Sunday school teacher, she talked about repent. She would always say, repent and perish. Repent or perish. And in Louisiana, we don't have counties. We have parishes. So I didn't know if she wanted me to get right with God or move. But look at this verse, all right? Now, before, take that verse off just for a second. Let me settle this. What I'm about to read you is for Christians. It's Matthew 24, which is all about the last days. And so you should read Matthew 24. Oh, my goodness. But right, this verse, I don't like this verse. I hate looking at it. I'm uncomfortable with it because I'm a pastor, and I often wonder how we're doing with the stat of this verse. Like in our church, you talk about getting wrecked, that'll wreck you as you're a pastor. So look at this. Because of the increase of wickedness. Now let me just ask you, have you noticed people making darker and darker decisions in their lifetime? Would you raise your hand? Like, okay, let's do it this way. Have you noticed wickedness is increasing? Okay, because if you're not, just open your eyes, watch anything. You can watch ESPN, you can watch CNN, Fox, you can watch whatever you want to watch. Just look around, read something. Just look around your neighborhood, look at stats. Because of the increase of wickedness, now this is referring to Christians, the love of most will grow cold. Now that is the part that really frightens me. Because what it's not mean, you can turn that verse off. What it's not saying, that people would just all of a sudden hate God. It says the love of most will grow cold. It's subtle, like it grows that way. But the word most means 51% or higher. I don't know where it is on the scale, but it's more than 50%. The love of most, what? Like, not you, but you, not you, but you, not you, but you, not you, but you, not you, but... So there's got to be a percentage of people in this room right now, just go with me on this, where, and I think a percentage of me, where I'm growing cold. Well, how does this happen? Well, it's bound to happen whenever you are, like the Lord is showing you something you need to work in your life, and you just are moved by it, but nothing is changed by it. To me, this is when we would grow cold. Now, in order to grow in our relationship with God, we know that it's by grace that we're saved, and I love the grace. But I also have a role to play. In Philippians, you can see both of these roles continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. If you appreciate the grace to forgive, I'm going to tell you right now, he is amazing at forgiving people. This is not the topic of today. He will blow your mind. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was his passion to forgive. He is amazing. He stopped dying while he was on the cross to forgive a thief, and then he continued to die again. He never got off the cross, but he just turned and he forgave him and then continued to die. He is amazing. If you appreciate his forgiveness, would you give him some praise? Come on, in this house. But let's just say you're struggling with pornography. And I picked that one because a lot of people do. And let's just say at a church service or in devotion at some point, it's like, man, I'm slipping. Like, the lust in my life is in trouble. And you realize the Holy Spirit is showing you what is right. And then you're like moved. There's a chance that you might even cry or call a friend and go, man, I've just got to get this right. But if we don't turn, like change, it could be your attitude. It could be your pride. It could be the way you yell at your spouse. It could be the way you treat your kids or teenagers. It could be your relationship with authority. I mean, we could go on and on. But when you're convicted by God, I think the way we fall into this trend of love growing cold is right there when we just resist. And this is where I think the Bible talks about the calloused heart and the callous on our ears where we can no longer hear and scales on our eyes where we no longer can see. Like, come on, I'm just challenging you. I'm trying to pastor you today that when the Holy Spirit starts showing you some things to adjust, do it. Pilate, who had the authority to kill Jesus or at least continue the trials, they're all false trials. They're all made up accusations about him. But Pilate had the authority to shut it down, and the crowd is yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Well, Pilate, all of a sudden, we don't know why, but all of a sudden he was wrecked by the presence of God. And his wife had an open dream that Jesus was innocent. So she's moved, and she tells Pilate, let him go. I'm just telling you, don't want to mess with this. But he couldn't take it. Like, for whatever reason, he didn't want to repent on that. So he just said, get him. Execute him. Well, after that, he just kind of washes his hands. He couldn't take the guilt. He was trying to get his hands clean. Interesting enough, the very person who could have wiped away his guilt was the one he rejected. This is precisely pattern tendencies for all of us. Okay, here's another example. Paul, he was preaching his butt off, man, one day. And King Agrippa was there. And King Agrippa was listening. And in the middle of it all, in the book of Acts, chapter 26, 28, he said this to Paul. He said, Paul, this is a killer. Paul, what you just shared, he said, Paul, you almost persuaded me. Like, I was listening to the words of the Lord that you were preaching about, and it almost persuaded me. Question. How many times have you almost been persuaded to repent? I'm not talking about convicted. Come on, guys, I'm just trying to speak to you that this God who loves you wants you to grow, and he wants you in closer proximity. And let's not be like the rich young ruler where we turn the other way instead of his way. Is anybody listening to me? Okay. I can't stand to be around people who are judgmental. And I'm so thankful that the Lord treats me the way that he does. And I love the word. The word motivates me. But you'll be surprised what I run into as a pastor in the community. And the way some people are mean. And years ago, I was getting my oil changed. And you know the little room you're sitting in waiting. And then this one guy was staring at me, and I saw him. I was like, he's just staring at me. But he's got a neutral face, so I don't know if he's, I don't know what he's thinking. But I'm looking at everyone else, and then finally it's time. They come out and they go, Mr. Bizet, your oil is, your car is ready. And so I got up to pay, and this man said, are you Rick Bizet who pastors New Life Church? And this is where you always just try to study their face to see if you're going to lie or not. So I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at him, and I couldn't get a read, so I said, yes. And he said, you need to repent. And I'm thinking, so everybody else immediately started looking down. They're just like, it was just so, and me too, we're all looking down. I do need to repent, or whatever. And I said, why? He goes, because you're definitely preaching a compromising word because your church is so big. And I was like, so I was thinking, so I think I said, how many people do I need to kick out before I'm right with God again? But the point is, he was mean. And he said, you got an oil change, but I'll tell you, you're the one that really needs an oil change. That kind of a thing. I remember that. I wrote this down years ago. And so he said, you're not going to repent, are you? I said, man, I'm just trying to pay for my oil. I'm just trying to get out of this room like everybody else in here now. But then he yelled as I was walking out, you better drive safe going home. And then I got mad. I didn't say anything, but when I got in my car, I was mad. But I drove real safe. You never know. I just want to ask you, like, what keeps you from taking heed to the Holy Spirit when he starts showing you what to do? We don't need someone yelling at us in a place of business. We already have the Holy Spirit showing us what's going on in the Word. The word repent is a positive word. He showed up at the church of Ephesus. This is what the Lord said to the church of Ephesus. He goes, I'm so proud of you. I love you. You guys are working hard. You got purpose. You're enduring. You're doing great. But there's one thing that I hold against you. And he said, you don't love me like you used to. You remember where you used to be? Can you see the height that you've fallen? And this is your God. Would you please go back and do what you used to do? Repent. That's what he said. Repent and love me like you used to. Peter mentions repentance in the very first sermon after Pentecost. Repentance is the first principle in the doctrine of churches in Hebrews chapter 6. Repentance is how you activate a relationship with the Lord, and it's also how you heal broken relationships around you, like in family or at work. I'm working on this. This is an important part of our lives. But in order to teach you what repentance is, I'm going to have to tell you what repentance is not, so you will know what repentance really is. Number one, repentance is not penance. Penance is voluntary suffering or punishment of sin or a mistake. Jesus is the one who took our penance. Aren't you glad about that? In other words, some people would prefer, some of you, because you struggle with accepting the grace of God, you would almost prefer this. If I could show you a verse in the Bible that said, hey, if you really want to be right with God, all you have to do is you have to give some penance. What you need to do, if you'll walk, let me show you this verse. It says, if thou shalt walk on knees between here and Memphis and back, you will be right with God forever and ever. Amen. Some of you would be so pumped, like, yes, I now know what to do. There's nothing you can do except believe in him. Jesus is not for decorations. He took your sin. It's like my house. Years ago, and I don't think ladies do this as much as they used to, but Michelle, for years, we had towels in our house. Michelle knows this. They were for decorations. Well, it was a towel. It looked soft to me. And it was dry. So I would use it. She goes, no. That's for decoration. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm using this thing. But I stopped. Then she had a comforter for a while. There's a comforter, nice new comforter. No, that's for decoration. Like, what are you talking about? It's really difficult in that first year trying to figure out. Like, I'd leave my underwear on the floor. Michelle, whose underwear is this? Well, it better be mine. Tell you that right now. Better be mine. Number two. Was mine, right? Number two. Repentance is not remorse. Look, raise your hand if you ever raised any kids. Okay. If you raise kids, then there are times when you're raising your kid and you have to correct them because you love them. You have to correct them. But some of your kids, they can get remorseful. Like, I remember one of my kids after they lied to me and we dealt with that just like an hour or two later, this child coming over to me saying, so sorry, Dad, I'm so sorry. Well, I didn't like that. I wanted my kid to move on. Remorse doesn't get you any closer to the Lord. It's like Judas. Judas broke the heart of Christ. Like, he told everybody, he said, you're going to pay me big bucks. And the way I'm going to expose Jesus, yeah, I've been hanging out with him, but I want the money. I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to kiss him on the cheek. And when I do, you'll know it's him, and arrest that man. So he's in the presence of the Lord, and I'm sure it started getting tougher then. He was probably wrecked. He was probably moved, but he did it. He went and he kissed Jesus on the face. And then afterwards, he just ran out in remorse, but not repentance. And in fact, the remorse was so heavy that he killed himself. Remorse is not repentance. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow, which is repentance, or at least leads to it, it brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Could y'all look here for a minute? Most of you have so much regret. Like, you think, man, the Lord loves me, but there's one or two things that I've done in my life, and that's what I don't think he can forgive me. That's the regret I have. That's not repentance. That's remorse. But worldly sorrow brings death. Number three, repentance is not condemnation. It's not condemnation. This woman who was caught in adultery, she was busted in adultery. Some of you are probably in adultery right now. So let's see how Jesus dealt with it. The religious people, like my Sunday school teacher, threw her at the feet of Jesus. And then, I don't want to tell this whole story because we ministered on this recently, but threw her at the feet of Jesus and said, we got to kill her. She's a sinner. We got to kill her. It was all the religious people who didn't know Jesus. And Jesus said, you're right. That's what the Old Testament says. But let's do it this way. Let's let the one of you who's without any sin kill her. And then one by one, they started dropping rocks. And then they walked away. Then he's with her alone. Here's all I want you to remember. He looked at her and he said, ma'am, where are those that give you condemnation now? And she's like looking around, but she's still not confident yet because there's still one person left. Jesus, and she has no idea that he's a forgiver, like some of you. She doesn't know if he's going to throw a rock. So she goes, oh, they're all left. They gone. They are gone. They are. But you are still here, is basically. And Jesus said, hey, neither do I condemn you. Here's the key. Now go and sin no more. You see, if he would have looked there, you trashy little thing, you lucky I saved your life. You are nasty. Now get out of here. Sin no more. She would have went right back. But when you've met the Spirit of God in forgiveness, you don't want to go back on the same path. Like, you know, there's just nothing can compete with the Holy Spirit. So what is true repentance? True repentance starts with the Holy Spirit. Starts with the Holy Spirit. You ever have somebody just try to just throw like guilt and heaviness on you? One time I was at a restaurant and the lady came over and said, what would you like? I said, I was thinking about getting a steak. I don't know. You think I should get a steak? And she goes, I don't know. I love animals. And I'm a vegetarian. I would never eat a steak. Well, I'm thinking, well, I love animals too. And I love people who love animals. But I also love vegetarians because they leave more meat for me. But I didn't say that. She was just, for some reason, she was convicted, and we should be convicted by things. But then she took, this is what Christians do. We get moved by an issue, and then we try to pile it on everyone else. This is not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is definitely convicted. The Bible says he doesn't even talk about himself. He only talks about what the Father says. But how does he do it? Well, he does it with truth. The Bible calls him the Spirit of truth. But because you can't just give grace, you have to give truth. Truth can't be truth without grace. Just like grace can't be grace without truth. So he gives the truth, but then the Bible says that he's the Spirit that guides, so he also tells you how to get out of it, and then he's the Spirit of comfort. Like, he's amazing. Like, he doesn't just show up and drop a bomb on you and leave you there to die. He's like the anesthesiologist before the surgery. Like, he gets you ready and he says, we got to get this out. So years ago, I asked a bunch of believers to give me their definition of condemnation versus conviction. And I was shocked at how the similarities of the two. Like, most of you in this room, still right now, you do not know the difference in the two. Condemnation or conviction. Condemnation shows up on the scene when you blow it. Raise your hand if you've made big mistakes in your life. Okay, but raise your hand if you ever lied before. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying right now. And this is church, and hell is hot, hot. Raise your hand if you ever lied before. Okay, let's say you lied at 3 o'clock yesterday. Okay? Condemnation shows up. It's the enemy. This is not of the Holy Spirit. Shows up. See how you are? You're a liar. You call yourself a Christian. You're not even worthy to be called a Christian. Look at you. You say you're a fake. You're a fraud. Then condemnation came back during worship. You were singing. Oh, I love you. I love you. You can't sing good, but that's what you do. And then the Holy Spirit is trying to encourage you, but condemnation is telling you, you lied yesterday. You don't even deserve to be at church. You need to walk out right now. Who do you think you are? Condemnation. Holy Spirit shows up yesterday when you lied too. He says, you know that wasn't truth. I'm just telling you, we're going to make this weakness of yours strong. But you got to get closer to the Father. And I want you to apologize to the people you lied to. And let's work on this. And then during worship, when you were feeling heavy about lying, the Holy Spirit's saying, Jesus forgave you of that. Worship him. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Worship him. He loves having you around. Please worship him. I love the Spirit of God. This all reminds me of one of my teenagers. One time I was in the car with them when they were younger teenagers, and they were listening to this song, and they put the song on, and my teenager knew every word. And so then I was listening to it, and then I realized, man, these words are what? It's like, what? And I looked over, and they knew every word. So I kind of turned it down a little bit. I said, you hear the words? And then my teenager said, oh, I don't listen to the words. I just like the sound. So then I said something else. But some of you, it's like that with the Holy Spirit. Like, you don't listen to the words. You know the words. But you don't listen to the words. You just like the sound. You like being in the presence of God, and you like being around Him, but you no longer listen to the words. Number two, true repentance is doing. It's not just hearing. I just want to talk about this. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, because look what happens if you are. This is why I'm speaking on this, deceiving yourselves. Could y'all look here? I'm almost wrapping this up. The reason why I'm speaking on this, because I was bringing it to Michelle's attention. I'm saying, babe, the Lord is messing with me about this word. And he's like messing with me. And so we were talking about it, and we went on and on. So I referred to her about the rich young ruler and how the scripture actually says, well, he's a rich man. It's harder for a rich man. He's a rich man. It's harder for a rich man. That's why he can't do, because he's a rich man. But then I said, well, how can no one can make it if he can't even make it? And fast forward, Zacchaeus, who was probably, most scholars believe he was much more wealthy than the rich young ruler. But he also had an encounter with the Lord. And when he did, he didn't turn away from God. This tax collector who was a thug. I mean, basically the most wicked, stealing money, slapping people around, working for the government and the Romans who were oppressing the Jewish people. And not only did they betray, they were all Jewish people, did they betray the Jewish people, but they worked for the Romans. And then they would take money for the Romans to encapsulate or to put in captive the Jewish people even further. And on top of that, they would take a lot of money and keep it for themselves. They were thieves. Jesus saw this man and said, I want to come and eat with you. And then when he's eating with him, he tells Zacchaeus what he needs to do. And Zacchaeus goes, I want you more than anything. I'm going to make this off like whatever you say. True repentance is doing and not just hearing. And then the last thing, true repentance, it brings a new life. Look at this. Look at this verse. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Could y'all look here for a minute? I just want you to have, like, the main thing that I want as a pastor is for you to enjoy your relationship with Christ. You're going to heaven, but you're not enjoying the trip. And the Bible says that when we repent, the times of refreshing come to us. I get the condemnation because I lived there for a long time. After I gave my heart to the Lord in 1981, I still had all these words around condemnation. So I'd go to church and I'd hear a sermon on, you just name it, on attitude. And I would be convicted, like, man, my attitude's bad. I hear a sermon on pride. Hear a sermon on hate. Or hear a sermon on lust. Or hear a sermon, you name it. And every time, it was just like, you just, man, like something else I need to work on. It's like something else I need to go work on. I'm just so tired of working on everything. And I just go to church like some of you did. See what else I need to work on. And then I realized, that's not how I have to do it. What I need to do is just to agree with Him and let Him work in me. instead of running away. And that's where Christianity becomes a blast. Thus saith the Lord Almighty. Let's bow our heads.